right, welcome to another Radio Free Cybertron, not review this time, interview. This is the Play With It 2 pre-Kickstarter kickoff. So we have Rick Alvarez from Play With This 2 with us today, and we also have, as you know, Don Ferguson.
Everybody.
So, Rick, why don't you tell us how Play With This 2 came to existence and what we should expect with the Kickstarter?
Well, two very loaded questions. Very different questions. Okay, so I'll give you the short answer on the first part. So, short answer is to how Play With This 2 came about. I didn't work for Hasbro anymore, and it was that time where a lot of people were being let go, and I was messing around with 3D printers, and I wanted to do something for retail via 3D printer, but the quality just wasn't there, and I thought, well, what can we do? And I had this design, I had this prototype with me, and I went down to Sharktacon, and I talked to a few people, and somewhere driving back in the dark, I came up with an idea. Well, hey, let's make some 6-inch figures. And after that, I just started slowly recruiting people and say, hey, I got an idea. This is what it is. Do you want to play with this? And slowly over the course of a year, I put together a team. And we did some art. We started working with some digital guys to make some prototypes. And that's how Play With This 2 came about. I wanted to do something completely different. And we ended up here. And as far as the Kickstarter goes, be more specific. What do you want to know about the Kickstarter? The Kickstarter, okay. I'll give you my two thoughts on it first. So just because we don't post on every board doesn't mean we don't read every board. I like to read the boards. I like to get feedback. I like to see what people like and don't like. And I've seen a few people say, well, these guys don't trust their own product. So they have to go to Kickstarter and why don't they take the chance and put the money up out of their own pockets to make this stuff? Well, if I had the money, we would have already been cutting tools and manufacturing these items. Unfortunately, we just don't have the cash. We only have enough cash to get us to where we are right now. And it's been several thousand dollars of cash to get us to the stage where we have our first prototype, to get the digital sculpt of that prototype, to get the amount of control art that we had, to do all this work up front so that should we be funded, we'll be ready to go right into production the month after. So we've put a lot of money into it already, and unfortunately just don't have the capital to go all the way, because it is a huge, huge expense to manufacture something of this scale and of the quality that we want it to be.
Yeah, that reminds me of Pebble. I mean, they recently just gone back on Kickstarter, but they're already an established company. They had the money to roll into a new product. And one of the reasons they're going back to Kickstarter, or the rumor that they're going back to Kickstarter, is advertising. But you guys, you aren't a big company. You don't have backing of any other companies or investors, and it's just, you know, a group of how many guys do you work with? Maybe about 10 guys.
Yeah, there's about, well, there's more behind the scenes guys than we know yet, and the public knows. So it's about 11-12 people.
Yeah.
And the thing is, this is why Kickstarter was created. I mean, why you're trying to bring something to the people that collect these figures as something to enjoy. That doesn't mean you should take your entire life savings and risk it and subjugate yourself to hardship if something bad goes wrong. There's nothing wrong with going this route, both to make sure you get the best possible product out there and as a safety net for y'all. So there's, I don't see any problem with it.
Well, I just, you know, from those comments, I see other comments like, well, if they don't succeed, they're going to blame the fans because they said, well, you just didn't want it bad enough. No, I think if we don't succeed, if we're not funded, there's really no one to blame but us because for whatever reason, we just didn't hit the mark. Either the price structure wasn't there, it wasn't a compelling enough idea, we couldn't reach enough people, people didn't believe in us for whatever reason. I would never blame the fans if we're not funded. I blame the last man standing, which would be me at the end of the day.
And I got to tell you, I felt the prototype in my hand, which scared me for a second when you handed that over to me. And I was just kind of like, this prototype is probably worth like 10 grand or it's worth a lot of money. And he just let me, you know, feel the prototype, move it around, play with it. And I love the scale, the 6-inch scale. I mean, I'm big on the Star Wars Black Series figures. I was completely out of Star Wars collecting until I saw those 6-inch figures. And
as was I.
You can get so much more detailed in that scale, but not, you know, blow your pricing out of the water. I mean, $20 for a figure that's mass produced isn't that bad. But that 6-inch scale is just amazing.
Yeah. And the monsters, they stand a little bit taller. So Desolator was closer to the 7-inch scale. And that's on purpose because we want those characters to be bulkier and bigger than the human characters.
Well, it's one thing I've thought of is it's sort of like when you brought up Star Wars, what flashed in my mind was from Empire Strikes Back when Luke is in the Wampa cave and you've got Luke fighting this Wampa that's 8-9 feet tall, and that's your play pattern right there. If you've got 6-inch Star Wars figures and you've got these massive play with these two figures, that's perfect for a diorama, for a display, or whatever, because you have these strange alien creatures that should be the bigger bulkier characters. So that works out great from a size standpoint too.
And that's just the thing too that I was thinking of. There's really no monsters that you can go into the store and buy today in that scale. You can get maybe some of the He-Man characters are monster-esque, but they're not in the store either. You have to go through Matty Collector to get those. So there's really no monsters currently that are readily available to the public, and I think the monster series is just absolutely great. And I think, Rick, you were telling me there is some playability between the figures and maybe other lines that your arms will come off, your heads will come off, and they'll actually be able to separate and mix and match.
Yeah, so the heads will come off, and all our heads should be able to work on Master Universe Classics, Star Wars Black Series, your Marvel Legends. There's a couple of other figures out there that use that same type of ball joint. I haven't checked the WWE figures. I think they use that same ball joint, but I'm not quite sure. So our heads will work across those. So that's good for customizing. And then all the limbs are interchangeable across our entire line. But also they have those new, they're like the Hero Smashers, but they're for Ninja Turtles. And I have a Donatello here, but I haven't tested it out yet. I think those limbs will actually work on those TMNT figures too. I gotta check it out.
That would be kind of cool because there's a lot of great monster designs in TMNT from the mutants from the mutagen and stuff, plus all the crane creatures that they create. So if they're compatible both ways, I mean, you can get unlimited sort of characters in your collection.
Yeah. Well, all the weapons should be compatible, but I have to mess around with the limbs to see if they'll fit. And if they're close enough, there's still time for us to tweak to maybe make them a little bit closer.
Now, what have you learned from other Kickstarters projects in the past? Like, say, B Bmog or Pebble or any of those, obviously, I'm sure you checked out Kickstarter before you decided to put your project on there.
Yeah, we looked at a couple of platforms, Indiegogo, Toybacker, and Kickstarter. And the thing about Kickstarter is there are people out there who just kind of peruse Kickstarter, who they'll throw you, hey, that's a cool idea. I'm not really into it. It's a cool idea. Here's a dollar. Good luck, guys. You kind of don't have that on some of the other platforms for fundraising. And it's also a all or nothing. And I kind of think there needs to be a trust factor there where, hey, if we get 60% of the money, we'll take it and we'll try and make something for you. No, I want people to know that, hey, all right, we collected the money. You know what you're going to get, and we're going to make it as best as possible. So if we're funded, and then to what degree, at least you know that there's a guarantee that you're going to get something, and you're going to get what we said you're going to get, and hopefully more. But yeah, there's been a lot of Kickstarters out there for toys. I hate to compare this to other Kickstarters, though, because you look at the Mythic Legions, you look at the Boss Fight Studios, Vitruvian Hacks, and you look at some of the other toy Kickstarters out there, like Legends of Cthulhu. Everyone has a different price structure. Everyone has different contacts at different factories. Everyone reuses parts in different ways. Everyone uses paint in different ways and packaging in different ways. So the cost structure for one person to another is completely different. So I that's what I kind of fear going to this, that people will compare our Kickstarter to other Kickstarters and say, well, they're asking for XYZ and you get this much versus these guys who are asking for XYZ and you only get this much. You have to take into account scale and factory and shipping, and some people have a better structure already set up for that. We're fresh out the gate, so this is our first thing that we've ever tried to do.
You know, well, Aaron Archer himself has said in the past that packaging is a huge percentage of any toy final price. So if you're getting a packaging that's a solid packaging for display, for transport safety, for maybe even say if it unfolds into a diorama for the figure, you know, you've got that cost built into that. But if you're getting all that in your packaging with the figure versus someone else that's doing, for cost concerns, lesser packaging or say a baggie or something simple just to keep the cost down, you got to factor that as well, because you can have something on the shelf that's in a beautiful box that's basically a work of art, and you're not paying that much more for it versus someone else that has to do a loose and baggy kind of thing.
Yeah, that's why we haven't shown any packaging yet, because we're still not sure where it's going to end out, because we want to put most of the development dollars towards the figures. But that being said, we have a lot of ideas of packaging. We have some mock-ups. We have some different things ready to go. It all depends on how far we get in that Kickstarter.
And I just wanted to mention before we get too far into the interview that the Kickstarter is going live in about a day and a half, March 27th.
February 27th.
Oh, February 27th. I'm a month ahead of myself. Yeah, it's February 27th at – is that at midnight or is that at
– we have it scheduled February 27th around 9 a.m. We may go the night before, Thursday night. Don't know yet. We're still waiting to we're still making some final edits to the Kickstarter page and to our presentation video.
And if I can ask, how much is your goal for this project to get funded?
So our goal to get funded will be $80,000.
And if you broke that out, how many figures roughly is that?
Well, there's going to be different packaging available. There's going to be different packages available for you to purchase. So you'll be able to get a single figure. You'll be able to get three figures, some swag, or five figures. So there will be five characters available, but keep in mind that they'll be we're going to start off with our monsters. That's the guys we got the most feedback from. So we're going to start off with our Desolator and our Bloodbath characters and variations of those two guys. So we've staggered our Kickstarter, and I've shown you guys the preview page of it. So we have, this is the reason why we have to, why we're going to make headshots and the headstands and weapons packs and all sorts of fun little things, extras, because the cost of producing these figures is so astronomical. And we can't, unfortunately, start off with, like, hey, here's a Jetstrike, Boneyard, a Desolator, Bloodbath, another guy. The reason we can't, because all those tools are completely different. And all those tools, those figures are not really Frankenstein figures of each other, where they take parts A and part B from this guy to make another guy. Some of those are, and those guys exist in between the guys that are completely new tools to help us get closer to the amount of money we would need to produce those guys. It's one thing to pay for the tooling. It's another thing to pay for the manufacturing. So, yeah.
Assuming the Kickstarter is a success, which I know it will be. I've seen the product. It's absolutely amazing. It's perfect scale in my mind. So assuming it's a success and the toys are made, where do you plan to be in a year or 5 years from now?
Well, that's a great question. A year from now, we hope to be making licensed goods. I can't talk about what licenses we might be pursuing or in what form those goods might come in. I don't think they would necessarily be part of the Lost Protectors toy line. I think they would be our second toy line launch, which we're in the stages of kind of concepting out. It would be very different from what we're doing right now. And there's some licenses out there that I think are kind of go by the wayside because they might be a rated R film or a very hard TV show. So licensed goods, I think that's the next step.
That's awesome.
Well, one thing I wanted to ask is, we've seen the preview page. There's a lot of great designs. You even have a troop builder option, mm-hmm. which I know a lot of people is probably going to really love that. But when you mention the monster characters, if there's monsters per se, there's going to be human figures. Can you tell us any about the human figures? Are we going to see male and female? Like, you know, is that something you've got planned? Because as you know, female figures are still the smallest part of these boy toy lines and so forth. So, I mean, can you talk about the human figures any?
Yeah, so we will have female characters. Some of them are going to be in our headshot series. So, and since those heads work with so many different toy lines, you'll be able to find a body or customize something or use one of the headstands or one of the weapons that fits a head onto it to display it. We also are going to take some of the figures that we think might, because they're armored up, be passable as a female figure and put a female head on it. So you'll see some of that as well in there. As far as doing like a new sculpt where you can clearly tell it's the female form, we don't have anything like that planned for the Kickstarter.
Right.
It's something we've been talking about, though, since the inception of this. And we got the right guy, Steve Redinger, who whenever there was a female character that needed to be designed at Hasbro, that was the guy it went to. So he is the right guy to do it. But again, it all depends on what happens in the next 30 days.
Now, for being in the toy industry so long, who right now do you think is the top toy company from a quality and design perspective?
I think those are almost two different questions. So, top toy company, flat out Lego. All licenses come to Lego. So yeah, I think Lego is the top company. They have so much appeal. Look, I was collecting Star Wars figures, and there were so many of them that I had to stop collecting Star Wars figures, and I just focused on getting the vehicles. But with Lego, that's where they're different than Hasbro in the Star Wars. And just using Star Wars as the example, is that Lego, you get the vehicle and then you get figures with it. Hasbro can say put out maybe four vehicles a year, where Lego, every set is a vehicle practically. As far as design goes, well, that's a very interesting question. I think design breaks down into two groups. Your almost realistic type stuff, and then your absurd, super deformed, fantasy interpreted stuff. So I think I can't believe I'm gonna say this. I really love all those Predator figures. So I'm a big Alien Predator fan. I think all the Predator figures that have been coming out of NECA are extraordinary. I love all the Planet of the Apes figures they've been doing. That Alien Queen is amazing. That Power Loader is amazing. So yeah, I think NECA has got it down when it comes to real world design. And then I think Lego's got it down when it comes to appeal and distribution and quality.
Yeah, quality with Lego, I can't ever remember having a quality issue with any Lego set that I've ever gotten. So,
out of all the hundreds and hundreds of Lego sets that I have, I've only ever had one Lego set that was missing one piece.
I always thought if you were missing a piece, it was something that like fell off the desk or went into the, you know, the carpet somewhere, because I've never opened a Lego set that was missing a piece.
Yeah. Just walk around barefoot, you'll find it.
And not to you know, extend the interview too much, how has the toy industry changed since you started your career?
Well, I think it's not so much how has it changed, because this is where we can talk about the negative aspect of the toy industry, where so many kids now are into digital products that they're buying less and less toys. You go into Toys R Us now, and they have a whole section on video games. They did before, but you look at how Toys R Us is structured now, and you look at how the big chains like Walmart and Target are structured now, and the things that we grew up with they have less and less space on the shelves, less and less product is being produced or being displayed at those stores.
Oh God, yes.
I think it's something we constantly talked about while I was at Hasbro, that more and more kids go the digital route and they lose their interest in toys earlier. And it was about the 10-year-old mark. Used to be 12 for many, many years, and then it became the 10-year mark. But they get into their digital phase, and I'm sure it'll be even younger. My 3-year-old knows how to use an iPad, an iPhone. She knows how to go to Netflix and YouTube and look up exactly what she wants to find.
How many times has that been Frozen?
Yeah, well, Frozen or she's really into Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends right now.
She oh, really loves great. That stuff, so oh, that's she has, awesome.
She has a 12-inch Spider-Man with her Barbies. So I think I think 10 years from now, maybe even before 10 years, because technology develops so rapidly, you'll go to a convention, you'll have your iPhone Quantum with you, and you'll take a picture of a toy. And that picture will get emailed to your home 3D printer, and it will print and paint the toy as it prints it for you. It'll create an instant CAD file. And there's some programs that already do that. If you take a phone and you walk it around an item, it creates a CAD file. And we'll all have 3D printers in 10 years, and we'll be able to print stuff. And I'll be printing out Lego bricks left and right for myself. Lego, who knows? The Lego section in Toys R Us is so huge right now, but it may shrink down to just a 4-foot section where you get a slip and you take it home. And you punch a code in your computer and it prints it out for you. So I think the toy industry is going to go very adult and collector oriented in the years to come, because that's going to be the market that it exists for. Kids will always play with toys, but only up to a certain age.
The one thing I see that really being good for is that guy who wants to troop build stormtroopers. Here, you know, Hasbro releases the file, download it, and you can print 100 stormtroopers if you want. You don't have to search each store to get, you know, the one per box and then go all around all the stores and now there's no stormtroopers available and it pushes the price up. It would kind of be a price control for scalpers.
It's also... I think of it as, hey, here's that $1,000 toy that's really rare and only a few assholes have it. You make an STL file of it with your phone, and then you just print one out at home, and then you have that toy. So I think the time of toys being in brick and mortar stores is coming to an end as 3D printing becomes a future, and that's what put me on this journey. I was looking into 3D printing and trying to get in on it now, and it that's what led to all of this.
Rick, I just wanted to ask. Now, this wasn't in the notes, but I just wanted to ask you, since you left Hasbro and you've been working on your own, has there been one toy, doesn't matter what line, what company, that you saw and you said, like, God, I wish I could have made that? You know, has it been one thing that you've seen that you wish you could have made?
I wish we could have made that War for Cybertron Omega Supreme that came out, that big giant one. I actually have somewhere buried here.
A Planet X.
That Planet X toy. I wish we could have done that. I wish we could have done Trypticon. We had a big giant Trypticon head that I rescued from BotCon, the diorama the guy made. Every year he takes his diorama out and he breaks it. I think his name is Michael. And I said, hey, I need this. Can I have this? He's like, well, I'm going to take it outside and smash it. I'm like, no. Listen, I work for Hasbro. Can I have this? I need to take this back to the office with me. So I can't tell you why. I just need to have it. So I took it back, and that was right around the time we were talking about, hey, should we do a Metroplex or not? So I staged that diorama, and I took some pictures of Bumblebee and Optimus, the War for Cybertrons with those guys, and I'm like, look how awesome this is. Look at the scale of this. And he's like, you know what? Yeah, let's talk more about Metroplex. And I just really wish we could have made some of those bigger guys. I'm a little disappointed with the way Metroplex came out. But, you know, he's huge and he's still awesome. Yeah. I'm just a big fan of rubber tires.
I mean, that's something I was hoping that we were going to get when I saw Metroplex. I was like, you know, asking, does this mean we're going to get a Trypticon? And they're kind of like, well, the Titan series, we are going to, you know, consider doing more Titan class figures, but we can't really get into it. And now, of course, we learned about Devastator as the next Titan figure, which kind of broke the mold.
when we were mapping out the Titan series, we were thinking of doing one a year. and Devastator wasn't even on the list. The first three Titans were all Autobots. And then the fourth one we talked about, well, maybe that'll be Trypticon. So to see Devastator is really cool. I think it looks awesome. I think the individual bots need some more articulation. But the size is right. They look awesome. They're straight out of the cartoon, which I love. So I sent a message to one of the guys who worked on that, who's still at Hasbro. And I'm like, hey, man, good job on that. That looks really cool.
That's cool. That's neat. Thank you.
Now, before we end, I just want, if you can go over, you know, the Kickstarter, when it's going to launch, and, you know, just give us a rough idea. How much is it for one figure? If you just want to sample what, you know, Play With This 2 has to offer.
Okay. So the Kickstarter is going to launch officially on Friday. Depending on when we get our stuff done, we might go a little earlier than that. As of right now, probably not. But who knows? So we're going to start off with five figures. And if you just want to get one figure, it's going to be $55 in the U.S. That includes shipping. International will be $72. That'll include shipping to anywhere in the world. There are some territories where we listed we can't ship to. That's on the Q&A page. The further you get, the more figures you get, the price comes down. So if you get two figures, if you get one of our two packs, then the figures become $50 a piece, and that includes shipping. If you get three figures, well, they're going to be $150. That includes shipping. And then the most you can get five different figures in one pack, in the Freakish Five pack. That's $240. And that includes shipping. But you can also get Troop Builders. You can get the Play With Just the Figure option. So that is just the that's just the 6-inch figures. You don't get any. You get the extra hands that come with the figures, the tech drone if the figure comes with a tech drone. You get the weapons the figure comes with, but you don't get any of the headstands or the extra heads or any of the other cool stuff that we're making. And then you get the Play With It All option, and that you get one of everything we make, guaranteed. And if we go all the way on the Kickstarter with everything that we have planned, not just the stuff that's on the preview page that I showed you guys, there's way more stuff that we'll slowly add to that page as the Kickstarter goes on. That'll be a saving of around $700-$800 bucks for you.
Wow, that's a lot of stuff.
You get the Play With It All option. Every time someone buys the Play With It All option, I lose money. If we go all the way, I lose a lot of money, because that'll be a lot of free stuff that you guys are going to get. It'll be totally worth it, though.
But, you know, there's so many independent companies doing figures, and there's a whole line of collectors. This is their thing. And this is probably the best time to launch when everyone is looking for the next big thing. So I'm hoping that'll be y'all.
Well, thank you. We were hoping to launch this November last year, and then we thought, well, that's just too close to the holidays. It's not going to work. Then we wanted to do February, middle of February, to launch with Toy Fair. Because we had a medical issue with one of our key members, something I can't get into, we're going here at the end of the month of February. So if this all goes according to plan, we will have our toys on the boats heading to the U.S. by the end of the year.
Awesome. That sounds great. I want to thank you, Rick, for, you know, coming on and speaking with us. Good luck on your Kickstarter. I personally think you don't have anything to worry about. I know this Kickstarter is going to be a success.
Because I think once everybody sees your designs, your paint jobs, what you get, I think they're going to be floored by with just how much you've got ready to go as soon as the 30 days is up.
Well, I hope so. It's been a very stressful last 2 months for me. It was a very stressful last week for me. All sorts of things. Bad dreams, not eating, headaches. I kind of just want this to be over. So in 2 days, I'll have 30 days of stress left. Phase one will be done.
Thank you so much.
All right, guys. Thank you. And maybe we'll talk in 30 days.
Awesome.
Right. If I'm still around.
Take care, man.
All right, guys.